We are grateful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for allowing us to meet together on yet another Sabbath day morning, a day that we set aside to worship and praise our Lord. And in this function, we have chosen to do this together through the use of technology and this medium. We just thank the Lord for allowing us to be able to come together to worship and praise our Lord. Having said that, I would ask that you pause with me for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you, Lord, for this day, for allowing us to be able, Lord, to just say a word. Word that you have designated for this day. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your word will go forth and that some souls will hear it, Father, and receive it, that it may do that which you have sent and out there to do. I pray, Lord, that you allow me to be the instrument used in your hand, Heavenly Father, void of my pride, my vanity, my ego, but just to be able, Lord, to say what you would have me to say, Father, even the way you would have me to say it. And praying always, Lord, that some soul will be edified, sanctified, and that you will be glorified. This I do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Again, we're glad to be with you. I know I say this all the time, and I do mean it all the time, but I also believe in letting the Lord do what he wants to do. And I'm just his vessel. And I want to be fit for his service and to do that which he would have me to do and the way he would have me to do it. Not trying to hold anybody hostage, but, you know, the Lord said that we should, you know, keep the Sabbath day. And it just so happens in our culture and what we do, we, on the Sabbath day, is a day that we have set aside to worship the Lord. So if it takes us a little bit of time, hey, somebody said, look, if we give the Lord time, he'd give us time. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know that he only asked us for one day. Surely we can give him an hour, even 2 hours, and hey, even more than that. Amen. Amen. Having said that, I would ask that you turn with me in your Bibles to Romans, the 8th chapter, a very familiar passage of scripture for us. Romans, the 8th chapter, and of course, beginning at the 28th verse. And I'm just going to read a few verses for you this morning. And I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to read first the 28th verse strictly out of the King James Version. Excuse me, just bear with me. And then I'm going to read the 28th verse again, the 28th through the 30th verses from the King James. Romans 8, chapter 28, verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The King James Version. And in the New International Version, it reads as follows. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. We have read in your hearing from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, the 28th through the 30th verses. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his word. Now, getting right into our message, I believe that this is one of the most quoted verses in the New Testament. Yes, I do. But I also believe that this is also one of the most misunderstood verses. A lot of believers love to quote this verse when things or circumstances seem to be going awry or wrong or weird in their life. I also, from what I've heard, what I've experienced, and what I've been told by other believers, many believers believe that since, now watch this, since they are believers, at least they claim to be so, this means, now I hear this close, don't miss, no matter what is going on in their life, the Lord is going to work it all out for their good. Let me repeat that. Somebody missed that. Many believers believe that since they have claimed to be saved, this means that no matter what is going on in their life, the Lord is going to work it all out for their good. Guess what? This is not what this verse is saying. Some of y'all are scratching your head. And I'm not playing a word game with you, but I want you to understand something. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you can do whatever you want, say whatever you want to say, go wherever you want to go. Even though it may be contrary to the word of God, that God is going to make it work all out for your good. Now, let me make this clear what I'm saying to you. Many times, even those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, many times we do something wrong. Many times we disobey God. Many times we do things that God tells us not to do. And many times we don't do the things that God has told us to do. And in doing those things and not doing those things, we also tend to do things that are just out and out contrary to the word of God. We sin. Let's cut right to the chase. We sin. And we know sin is, anytime we disobey God, it's sin. No matter what that sin is, no matter what level it is, no matter how we may try to justify it, okay, no matter how we may try to make it fit into the box that we wanted to fit into to make it sound or be less condemning. If it is contrary to the word and the will of the Lord, it is sin. And guess what? Sometimes we who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we sin. No, we are not overpowered by sin. Sin has no more power over us. Okay, but we do sin. It's just like right now, some of you are strong. Your legs are strong and you got good wind, good stamina physically we're talking about. And that's right. You can, run, jog, whatever. But every now and then you stumble. Even though you're strong, even though you can maybe run for miles or whatever, you stumble. Now, sometimes you just stumble and you catch yourself and you keep going. But sometimes you stumble and you fall. I don't care whether you tripped, something got in your way, what have you. Because even though you're strong, even though you're able to hold yourself up, things happen, things get in the way. And sometimes we just out and out go where we're not supposed to go. And again, things happen. Now, why am I saying this? Why is this important? Because we need to understand something. If we had made the choice, the decision to do something that the Lord has told us not to do, to go somewhere where the Lord has told us not to go, don't expect that the Lord is going to just bless your mess. Oh, he's blessing you. You're still his child. But don't expect him to co-sign your mess. Not if it goes against his will. He's not going to do that. Doesn't mean he's never going to bless you. You think about when you've done something wrong, as we've stated in the past. You've done something wrong. You're your mother's child, your father's child. You do something wrong. You disobey them. They chastise you for it. They punish you for it. But they don't turn around and say, okay, you're not my child anymore. Get away from me. The Lord does the same thing with us. Yes, we disobey him. We do things he tells us not to do. We don't do the things he tells us to do. Matter of fact, we do things contrary to what he's told us to do. And he chastises us, as he reminds us in the word that no, he only chastises his own. He's not going to go around here and chastise other people's children. And the only other person there is that we obey like that is the devil. If the devil is your father, if the devil is the one you choose to follow, now I'm not talking to believers here. Because every time we sin don't mean that the devil's taking control of us. Okay. But for those of us who are believers, let me come back to where we started. Okay, we need to understand. Lord ain't just gonna bless you just because you're his, just because you're his daughter, because you're his son. He's just gonna bless you in sinful, disobedient way. That's enough. No, the Lord is not gonna make himself a liar for me or for you or for any other one of us who claim to be his child, or we may out and out really be his child. Not going to change for us. He can't. If he could do that, if he was do that, he wouldn't be the God that we're serving. But that's a whole nother lesson. Let's continue on with this. Let's see if what we're saying is true in this text, if we are true to this text. Let's look and see. Now, I said, for that reason, that I believe this is one of the most misunderstood passages of scripture, because even though some of you may be saying, oh, that's elementary, we all knew that. No, we don't. No, we don't. Again, I remind you, as I do from time to time, that many of us who are seasoned on what we call mature believers or Christians tend to forget that we weren't always this way. We tend to forget that we did not always walk the way that we're walking now. We tend to forget that one time we too were babies in the Lord. We have grown into the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord as we have been commanded to do. And we're still growing. I hope you are. I know I am. Still growing in God's grace and in the knowledge of him. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for that. Now, when we take a good look at this verse, this can be looked on as one of those promises or assurances in the word that comes with conditions. Now, you say, what? What do you mean? Oh, Oh, yeah, some of you just thought that just being saved is all it required for you to claim this promise or this assurance in God's word. I want you to understand something, that there are at least four conditions in this very verse. I ain't talking about in the whole passage, just in this very verse that comes with this promise. Four conditions. Now, some of us remember that there are times when the Lord has given us promises that all we have to do just be his child. Just like, me being my father's son, my parents' son, automatically I got their name. I didn't have to ask for it. Don't have to do anything special for it. I have their name. I have certain rights and privileges. I mean, most of them granted by them, but that I can claim being their child. There's certain things I can ask them that every other child can't ask. So there are things that just come with just being their child. Same thing with being just a child of God. There are certain things that we are given that come with being a child of God, but there are also certain things we have to do and we are expected to do in order to obtain some of the promises and assurances in God's word for his saints. When we look into this passage, okay, we're going to see these things. And as we look into them, let's think on this subject for today. Are you serving your purpose? Are you serving your purpose? Now, I don't want you to misunderstand what I mean by that when I say, are you serving your purpose? Let's look more and a little bit deeper into this text and see if this question becomes clearer to you. First thing, I said there are at least four things in this verse. Let's look at this first point. In all things, God works for the good. You say, yeah, okay, well, I got that, but I want you to hear it again. In all things, God works for the good. Now, I want you to understand what we're saying here. Okay, you may be going out ministering. You may be going out, okay, on a mission. It doesn't, everything we do doesn't have to be, as we say, ministry intent. But again, now I want you to watch this and pay close attention. I don't want you to feel as though I'm contradicting myself. Being a child of God, you are always a child of God, 24/7. Okay, and even though you may not be taking careful watch over everybody that's around you, you can be sure that many of the people who are around you are watching you. They are watching you. They're watching you when you go to shopping, when you go do the laundry, when you go to the gas station, when you go to work, when you're taking your walk through the park or wherever you're going. There are eyes on you, eyes that know who you are. You may not think they know who you are. You may not think that they know that you're a child of God, but they do. They may not be a child of God, but they know that you are. Don't ever forget that. Okay. Now, when this verse says, in all things, God works for the good, one, this is because you are living righteously, as we like to use, you are living right. Okay. So, God, yes, God is ordering, he's who's already ordered your steps. He's with you all the time, anyhow. Right or wrong, but he's still with you. Okay. So you have to be going around getting ready in the supermarket. No harm done. You're not out here with your Bible, shopping down every aisle, preaching down every aisle. No. But you are his child, and you are just shopping. So when he says in all things, God works for the good, how many times have you just gone out to shop, going out to get gas for your car, or going to see, just going to see a buddy, a pal, maybe going to the movies or whatever? He said, man, on my way there, I got a chance to talk with somebody. I got a chance to witness to somebody. I got a chance to see something that the Lord has inspired me to use it in a message, or in a sermon, or what have you. In all things, God works for the good. You've seen tragedies just going about your business, maybe driving your car. You've seen an accident or the results of an accident. And the Lord lays something in your spirit for you to use to share with someone. Like I said, it could be in a sermon, just in a testimony or witness or what have you. This is God working, working those things that might seem tragic, that might seem bad, but he's working out for some good to come through it, through the message that he lays on you or have laid on someone else to give to you, that you might transfer even to someone else. So yes, God is always working in us, through us, to us, for us. He's doing that as we continue to walk uprightly, uprightly. That's important. That's important. So this is what he's saying to you. God is working these things out for the good. This is one of the conditions in there that we said, that we mentioned. Another one. Somebody said, I don't know if I agree with that. He had to read a little bit further, because he goes on and says, what? To them that love God. Oh, okay. He's working all these things out for the good for them who love God. But don't you dare take this lightly. Don't take this lightly. See, you gotta understand when he says, them that love God. Remember what he said with Peter. Okay, in John, the 21st chapter, and particularly, you can read, read it all, as I always encourage you, but in particularly in those 15 through 17 verses, when he asks Peter three times, do you love me? Do you love me? What did he tell him to do? Feed his sheep, feed his lambs. Feed them. Now, this is important. Now watch this. Peter, you say you love me. Are you teaching my lambs, my young ones, my babies in the Lord? Watch this. The ones that haven't grown up yet, the ones who aren't mature yet, the ones who aren't seasoned like your season. Okay, are you feeding them? Are you constantly feeding them my word? Are you teaching them? This is what he's saying to Peter. These same words are echoed, that have echoed through time, are now challenging us. You say you love me, and the Lord is saying to us, you say you love me, but are you feeding my sheep, my lambs, others who maybe not as strong in the faith as you are, not as exercising their faith as strongly and mighty as you are? You teach them how they can do the same thing. Are you doing this? You see, we need to understand some things. It's not enough. It's not enough to say you love the Lord. It's not enough for the world. It's not enough for other believers. It's not even enough for the Lord himself for you to simply say, I love you. It's not enough. Not enough. How many, and we've spoken about this many times, how many of you tell folks, oh, I love you? We are so cavalier about using that phrase, oh, I love you, or just love you. But we say this almost rolls off the tongue with no problem at all today. Yeah, we still show no evidence that we do love this person. See, the Lord doesn't play like that. He said, if you love me, feed my sheep. You love me, feed my land. Okay? And not only that, he didn't even stop there. In the very 14th chapter of the same book of John, what does he say? If you love me, keep my commands. Oh. See, not only do are there certain other things I want you to do, okay, I want you to do because you love me. But most of all, I want you to keep my commands. In other words, I want you to be obedient to me. I want you to do what I tell you to do. Don't do those things I tell you not to do. I want you to be obedient. Follow my commands. Did I not tell you, every one of you, every single believer, I don't care if you've been a believer for 20 days, 20 minutes, 20 hours. Did I not tell you to go out and teach all nations to obey the very same commands that I told you to obey? Somebody say, I don't know all your commands. Well, guess what? Study them, read them, learn them. Because I told you to do, to teach them to others. You can't teach what you don't know. Get in the word for yourself. The word what? It's a lamp to your feet. A light to your path. And even no matter how the world gets so dark, the word of God illuminates things for you, makes things very clear. The world is telling you to do this, to do that, to go this way, to go that way. Say this, say that. Don't say this, don't say that. And so many of us get confused. We're not sure what to do, where to go, who to listen to, what is true, what is false. But the word of God will make it all clear to you. It will light your way. It'll lighten your path. It will illuminate your way in through this world of darkness. So yes, I've told you to do this. I've told you to tell others this. That means you must find out and experience it yourself. Okay? So this is what the Lord has told us to do. This is part of the conditioning in this. Thirdly, he says in the same verse, to them who are called, now watch this, he says, to them that love God, okay, I'm going to be in all things, okay, working it out for your good, for those of you that love me. And love, we already established, love means I have to keep God's commandments, I need to be obedient to Him. And there's a lot of commands in the scriptures. Don't just think he's just talking about the Ten Commandments, the Deuteronomical commandments. There's commands all through the scriptures. Love one another, even as I've loved you. Love you one another. It's so many that goes on, and I want you to keep them all. This is what the Lord is saying to us, and I want you to teach them all. You don't just keep it to yourself. You don't just say, well, I'm doing what you told me to do, Lord. You don't tell others that they need to be doing the same thing. This is exactly what he was referring to when he was telling Peter. Tell your brothers. You've got brothers and sisters who are misunderstanding what I've taught, or don't simply do not know what I've taught. You teach them. If you know it, you teach them. If you don't know it, you learn it and teach them. But the bottom line, teach them. You say, well, Lord, you said that there are many commandments in this Bible. I haven't learned them all yet. You need to learn them. Because I told you to teach them. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. We need to understand that. You say you love me, do what I tell you to do. Keep my commandments. And this is for all those who are called. Now I want you to understand something. In John 17, this is what I gotten referred to as the Lord's Prayer, not the model prayer that he's given, that we call the Our Father prayer that we've learned even from a child. But I look in John 17 when he's talking to his father, when he's praying to his father. It's so much in there. So much in there. And when I think about them who are the called, now we all know that none of us came to the Lord on our own. It was an unction, or somebody might want to call, refer to like a prodding. By the Holy Spirit, and that was a good thing. You see, the Lord doesn't force himself on anybody. We're going around and we're seeking him. Some of us didn't even know how to seek him, and the Lord realized that. So yes, in his wisdom, in his grace, and in his mercy, he prodded us along. Don't think you just came to the Lord on your own. You found yourself in the place of blessing. So guess what? You got blessed. You found yourself in the place where grace abounded. So guess what? His grace abounded upon you. And the list can go on and on. You see, well, I was just minding my business and I heard somebody say, you need to be born again. You found yourself in that place. You think on your own. You think you heard it on your own. You think you understood it on your own. There are some of us, one, who are called for different ministries, specific ministries. Whether he's talking about his disciples that walk with him, or whether he's talking about us modern day disciples, okay? To those of us who are the called. Now watch who he's talking to. Remember where we started with this. We're talking about, okay, those of us who feel as though Romans 8:28 goes along with us any old kind of way. He says, no. He said, mm-mm. Works for the good to them that love him, to them who are the called, what? According to his purpose. Whoa. He said, it sounds almost like being a workman unto God, making sure that God is pleased with my work, making sure that I'm on the job for the Lord, not just on my natural job, but I'm on the job that he gave me to do. You see, God told me or gave me the gift to sing, and I'm to sing his praise, and that's what you do. You say, well, the Lord has given me such a heart that I just want to help others. Then that's your if that's your gift, then that's what you do. Not just because you've given to anybody or anything that's any cause you feel as though that's your gift. You make sure that what you're doing, enhances the kingdom of God. I'm not saying no, you cannot give to this charitable organization or that one, but do not slight those who are laboring for the cause of Christ. Those who are out here on the mission field. Okay, you feel the need to give, don't you? To give, don't forget them. But he says, okay, now to those who are called, I have to read this. I wasn't going to. I just gave it to you, John 17, but I need to read a few verses. Now, just bear with me. I'm almost finished anyway. He says, I revealed to you those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. This is Jesus speaking now. They knew with certainty that I came from you. We know that God is referring to God the Father. Okay, we're watching the Trinity working here because the Holy Spirit is guiding through all this. But you need to read this John 17 for yourself. Okay, now watch what he said. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. Okay, now watch this. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. Now, I want you to understand some things. Okay. The Lord watches, as he told us in other passages of scripture, he watches over his children. He watches over all of us. Okay. And yes, he sees us when we stumble, even though he's right there. You know, some of you say, well, why would he just keep me from stumbling? Well, you know, you think about how it was when your child was learning to walk. No parent wants to see their child hurt in any kind of way, on any level, whether it's just a little minor scratch or whether it's a broken bone. But we also understood and also understand that for that child to be able to walk, they're going to need to fall sometime. But it's not the falling that's the picture. That's the issue. They also need to learn how to get back up and continue walking. And you know they have to get this lesson. You can't carry them all their lives. And sometimes you're going to have to turn your hand loose so they can walk and learn how to walk steady for themselves. You know that. You know that. The Lord, in his infinite wisdom, knew from the very beginning. He said, listen, I know the ministry I've given you. I know what I've told you to say. I know what I've told you to preach. And I even know where I'm sending you to do all of this. And I realize I'm sending you like sheep out into the world of wolves. I know that. And I know that as you go out there, then it's not going to be pretty. I know there's going to be those out here who want to devour you for all kind of reasons. Those who are jealous of you, envious of you, who want what you have. I know all of that. I know that as I send you out there, okay, soon as you give any testimony, soon as you bear any kind of witness to me or about me, they're going to set out to destroy you. That is why I'm with you. That is why I've given you your armor to wear as you're out here in the fight. That's why I am your shepherd, which is why David could say what he said, yeah, the Lord is my shepherd, and I want for nothing. And he proceeded to tell you what the shepherd does for him. Do you think I would do anything less for you? This is what the Lord is saying to us. Okay. I know all of these things that may be happening in your life is not because of you. It's not because of your sin, not because of what you did in the past. It's simply because you are out here on my word. You are out here doing what I sent you to do, and the world is fighting you. Satan is out to destroy you because he does not want you to make any more. Any more. People that want to make their way to me. He doesn't want you to have any more parts of leading others to me. This is what Jesus is saying to us. He doesn't want you to get out here and try to make people do just what you did. Surrender yourself and make me Lord and Master of your life. This is what Jesus is saying to us. So yes, I am aware of all of that. I'm aware of it all. Okay. And this is why he said in this in the latter part in this verse, the fourth verse part, after them who are called according to his purpose, according to the Lord's purpose. Not just called because somebody said, oh, you have such a great voice, you ought to be a preacher. Oh, you have such a good voice. Get on out there and sing. Don't matter what you sing. The Lord gave you this gift. Sing it whatever you want. But the things that are happening in your life, like we just mentioned, those things that are going on that Satan is throwing at you, the hurdles, the stumbling blocks, the pitfalls, all of this stuff that's happening. Why am I losing my house? Why am I, how come I cannot seem to make ends meet no matter what I do? And all of these things are happening. Don't you realize you are always going to be bombarded by the adversary? This is what he does. This is what he does. But I will work all these things out for your good. This is what he's saying to you. I'll work all these things out for your good. Why? Because you are out here doing what I said. You're living according to my purpose. You're making yourself available to me. You are doing what a true servant of God does. Allow me to use you when I want, where I want, to say what I want. And while you're doing all these things here, and Satan is hauling all these problems, don't worry about it. I'm going to make them all work together for your good. What's that? You say Satan caused something to happen to your home and you have to move out. It's all right. Move on out. All you're doing is moving from the home that you left to the one that I got for you. Just keep doing what I told you to do. What's that? The Lord has taken away somebody you really loved out of your life. It has left you heartbroken. Don't worry about it. I'm the heart fixer. Don't worry about it. I am the comforter. Don't worry about it. I'm the peace. I'm the ultimate peacemaker. You forgot about my servant Job. What all was taken from him, but also what all he was blessed with. Because he stayed the course. He stayed fulfilling the purpose that I gave him. The purpose that is used to upbuild the kingdom. He stayed the course. He didn't use the excuse that, oh, my loved one is gone, I gotta bury him. No, they're gone now. Whatever you ministered to them when they were here, whatever you said to them while they were here, you open prayer that that has worked. Because they're done now. Let's move on. There are some here that are left, that are still alive, that need the word, that need to hear the word from you. There's somebody down the road that needs to hear what you have to say to them that I have given you to say to them. Stay the course. Stay helping to fulfill the purpose that I've placed in your life. You keep doing that. I'll work everything else out. Don't worry about the bills that need to be paid. I'll work all of that out. You're working for me. You're the workman that need not be ashamed. You're working for me. You're on the job. I got you. I got you. The key thing is to remember who and whose you are. Are you indeed serving your purpose? See, the Lord has given us purpose. This is where I want you to understand. The Lord has given your life purpose. By the gift that he's instilled in you, he's given you purpose. Oh, your name may not be on the large marquees, but the Lord has given you purpose. Fulfill your purpose in him. Someone has once told me that a long time ago that your gift will make room for you. I've been hearing that since I was a kid. If the Lord has a gift that he's giving you and he wants you to use it, you just use it wherever you are. Wherever you are. If the Lord chooses to let you start with one and build you to 1,000, 1,000,000, that's his business. But you just make yourself available. You serve. You serve. God's purpose. You serve according to and live according to his purpose in you. You just live that way. The Lord will work the rest of it out. So yes. You might say that yes, we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Not just being saved. No, not just being saved, but showing you love him. Not with lip service. Not to go on and tell, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. Lord said, well, I don't see any proof of it. But by being obedient, by being obedient, by doing those things the Lord had told us to do, following his commands, we show that we love him. He said, well, I thought it was not of works. I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about those of you who are saved. Be obedient. Be obedient, children. You're still going to be his child. Be an obedient child. This is what the Lord expects from us. This is what the Lord demands from us. This is what the Lord wants from us. Yes, and then he said, while you're being obedient, you're on the job. You realize this is a 24/7 job. Folks may wake you up any hour of the day and say, I need you. And if this is what the Lord have you to do, you got to go. Doesn't matter who they are. If the Lord lays them and drops them right there for you to work to, for you to minister to, you have to do it. Nobody likes getting up out of their bed 3, 4 in the morning or whatever time it is. But if that's when the need arises, it has come fell on your lot, that's when you gotta go. If you didn't want to do that, then don't tell the Lord, Lord, for you I live, for you I die. Don't say it. Don't say it. Lord, I love you. Okay, you love me? Do what I tell you to do. I've shown you in the scripture that there's been some who come at midnight and needed help. Somebody may come to your door in the midnight hour. Be careful. Might be an angel. You might be having be entertaining angels. Ooh, this thing gets a little bit deeper. Gets a little bit deeper. Are you serving your purpose? You realize what your purpose is in the Lord. Are you serving it? You realize that the greatest example of true worship you can give, okay, is just to offer your body a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God. That is your, in the new, I like how the New International Version put it, that is your true and proper worship. True and proper. In other words, what you ought to be doing. I'm not doing God a favor. It is he who did me the favor, even in allowing me to bless him. I count it a privilege and an honor, and we all should. That's the least I can do, is offer myself to the Lord. Beloved, I say this to you, and I'm finished. Are you serving your purpose? Some of you are saying, I don't know what my purpose is. Well, the Lord will give you purpose. And one purpose he has given to every believer, as we mentioned earlier, and that has become part of those of us who are helping to fulfill God's great commission, and that's to go out and teach all nations, everybody, to obey that which God has told us to obey. Every believer has been commissioned and commanded to do that. So while you're waiting for your special assignment, the Lord has already given you at least one. Some of you are saying, but I want to be part of God's kingdom, but how do I get this assignment like that? Well, first off, it all starts with you being born again. You see, you say that every week because I mean it every week. You must be born again. I can word it differently for you if that helps you. You must be born from above. You must have a spiritual rebirth. And that can only happen through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ always declared in his word, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way but through Jesus. And he does that simply by you saying to him, Lord, I need you. I read in the word how you came to seek and save those who are lost. Well, Lord, I'm lost. Save me. Save me. Because I know that, Lord, when you save me, I will then become part of the kingdom. I then will have purpose in my life. And I, at that point, Lord, you will give me what I need to fulfill this purpose in you. I know then when you do this, Lord, you'll be with me step by step, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second, you'll be with me all the time. Yes, I'm a little gun shy, I'm afraid, because I've tried so many times to come to you. But I hear you, Lord, saying, no, don't worry about coming to me. You just receive me. I've already come to you. Just receive me. I'm standing at the door knocking. Open up. I'm knocking at the door of your heart. Open it up and let me come in. I'll fellowship with you. I'll take up residence with you. We'll commune together. We'll fellowship together. I'll walk with you. I'll talk with you. I'll give you whatever you need. Did you hear what I said? Whatever you need to do and fulfill the purpose that I will have for you. All you have to do is ask from your heart, ask me, and I'll come in. I'll come in and we'll fellowship together. I'll sup with you. You'll sup with me. We'll just dine together. This is what the Lord is saying to you who are wavering still. He said, I'll come. And this is what we want you to understand. You can serve the purpose that God has for you if you allow him to work through you, work in you, work for you, simply by receiving him, letting him know that you need him, that you are the sinner that he came here for. Let him know that. And I'm talking to you who want to hang your head in shame, hang your head because you feel guilty, because you heard this many, 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 many years ago, many weeks ago, many months ago, I don't know. And you say, yeah, but I chose to do my thing. Well, guess what? You've heard different today. You want to make a change in your life right now, then do it. The Lord is not gonna say, well, you messed up, I don't want you anymore. No. No. He said, I still got your job waiting. You're still part of the family. Come on back home. We've been waiting for you. Your job is still here. Come on. That's how good a God he is. How merciful a God he is. How gracious a God he is. Won't you come on? Come on now. Serve. your purpose. Because are you serving it right now? Are you? God bless you. And a smile upon you. Are you serving your purpose? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you for being so good and always being so good to us. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for allowing your word to go forth. We know that, Lord, it's going to go forth and land where you want it to land, on the table of someone's heart this day. We believe, Lord, that there is someone who desperately, desperately want to serve their purpose in you, who desperately is seeking you. And Lord, we believe that they found you this day. We believe, Lord, that there is some who is trying to keep them from coming to you, who wants to ridicule them, wants to laugh at them, and they a part of them feel as though maybe they can't put up with that laughing and that ridicule. But Lord, let them know that you'll strengthen them. You'll give them what they need to be able to stand for you. And if need be, you'll have those who are laughing and trying to ridicule them be the very ones to help strengthen them and keep them. So, Lord, you can do all things and all things well. And we come to you, Heavenly Father, thanking you, praising you, glorifying for your word. Praying, Lord, that it has truly illuminated someone this day. And Father, as we continue in this day, we pray that you would strengthen us, keep us, and let us live in such a manner that the world will be able to see you through our life living, that you might get the glory and the honor out of our lives. For this we do pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.